Welcome to Conversations on Healthcare. I'm Mark Maselli.
And I'm Margaret Flinter.
Welcome back to our regular listeners. That means anyone who heard us last week, which was our first show.
Mark, I was happily surprised at how many people sent us emails after the show.
Through the miracles of the internet, they were able to listen at WESUFM.org.
And the emails came from all over, from Denver, Washington, D.C., Norway.
You've got family in Norway?
No, but I think you do.
Really?
Some people gave us ideas for future shows, and some people suggested that they'd like to be on the show as future guests.
One listener who asked us to dive more into the finances of the public option wrote, "The economics of the model really needs an explanation, which is convincing about personal cost."
Mm-hmm. And my personal favorite was the guy who wrote, "What is this, Care Talk?"
So keep listening and send us more emails at conversations@chc1.com.
Last week, Speaker of the House Nancy Pelosi joined us for our first show to talk about the public option. That was just days after Finance Chair Senator Max Baucus released his long-awaited bill. Over these days, Senator Pelosi has continued to push for the public option, saying the plan could save the federal government money and not add to the country's deficit, something in line with President Obama's objectives in health care reform.
Margaret, she is a drum major for public option. We also had Dr. Mitch Katz from San Francisco here to talk about Healthy San Francisco, one program that has already proven it's possible to extend health care to the uninsured in a cost-effective way.
Remember, Dr. Katz really stressed the need to have enough providers who can actually serve new patients. And that's what led us to the topic of today's show, the growth of the convenient care clinic industry. Retail clinics have sprouted up inside drugstores and retail locations like CVS and Walmart. It's seen as one way to increase access to basic health care services at affordable prices.
Today, we'll look at two models of retail clinics. First, we'll speak with Sandy Ryan, Chief Nurse Practitioner Officer of Take Care Health Systems, that owns and operates retail clinics inside Walgreens drugstores.
Then we're going to speak with Dr. John Aguinobi. Dr. Aguinobi is president of Walmart's Health and Wellness Division. We'll talk to him about how Walmart leases space to local independent health care providers to provide those health services to Walmart customers.
But first, as always, at least since last week, we'll start with health care headlines from Lucy Nalpathanchil, our producer here at Conversations. Lucy?
I'm Lucy Nalpathanchil with this week's headline news. The federal government will begin rolling out the H1N1 vaccine to state and local governments next week. U.S. Health and Human Services Secretary Kathleen Sebelius says the government has purchased 250 million doses, enough for every American who wants the vaccine.
This is not a mandatory vaccination campaign. It is entirely voluntary. We have made it clear that we think it's a good idea for people, particularly folks in the target populations, to be vaccinated, but there is nothing mandatory about it.
The government recommends the vaccine for young children, pregnant women, and those with chronic conditions. The FDA has approved two doses for children 9 years and younger, one dose for those 10 years and older. Secretary Sebelius also stresses that the vaccine is safe.
We have a high degree of confidence in the vaccine safety, that this is being made exactly like seasonal flu has been made. We have lots of data on 100 million people a year getting the seasonal flu vaccine, and we have every reason to believe this will operate exactly the same way.
How the vaccine is distributed is up to state governments. Governors and their public health directors are coordinating with hospitals, community health centers, and clinics to determine how much vaccine to get and who will distribute the doses. Turning to the U.S. Capitol, senators within the Finance Committee are still offering multiple amendments to U.S. Senator Max Baucus's health care reform bill. One issue that came up was a revision to lower the cost of health insurance for people who would be required to purchase it. The question of affordability remains a sticking point between Democrats and Republicans in both chambers. Senator Baucus's plan made news last week after he left out a public option. This week, senators will offer amendments to get the public option in the bill. After the Finance Committee agrees on a bill, Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid will work to merge the finance bill with the Senate Health Committee bill before a plan is brought to the floor for a vote. We'll continue to follow what develops. This week, we take a look at the retail care industry, clinics that offer basic health care services in places like drugstores. MinuteClinic is seen as the pioneer of retail care clinics. The Minnesota company was founded in 2000. Today, MinuteClinics are found in CVS stores across the country. I visited a MinuteClinic in Avon, Connecticut. Okay. The MinuteClinic is nestled in the corner of the store, past the checkout counters. Connecticut manager of MinuteClinic operations, Marlene McGuire, takes me through the check-in process.
So here we are in front of the kiosk. As you can see, it's a touchscreen to start, and it's going to ask you why you're here. The two main options at this point in time are you here for a flu or pneumonia shot, one of the very common visits these days, or are you here for another service? If you're here for a flu shot, you just hit yes, yes, and go to the next screen.
Above the touchscreen is an electronic menu that shows customers what services are available and exactly how much they cost. A flu shot starts at $62, and the clinic takes most insurance plans. McGuire says the upfront costs add to the quickness of a customer's visit.
And what we offer to people is an alternative to going to the urgent care or the emergency room for what we call acute episodic issues, such as strep throat, conjunctivitis, sinusitis, bronchitis. We actually started out with perhaps a handful of things we did, and we have now, I would say, we do 2.5 times the services.
During my visit, most people walked over to the clinic for flu shots. Ray Dubois came with his 4-year-old daughter, Jordan.
You can go right down the street, come in and out very quickly, get your flu shot, you know, rather than waiting at the grocery store where you're in line for an hour to get one. This is much more convenient.
And convenience is key to this growing industry. Teen Hansen Turton, executive director of the Convenient Care Association, says 2 years ago there were 150 retail care clinics in the U.S. Now there are more than 1,200. Hansen Turton says the clinics aren't meant to replace primary care providers, but they are staffed with qualified nurse practitioners, so they can offer a critical access point to providing care.
We only have to look to Massachusetts 2 years ago, where the governor made, you know, health care insurance available to 340,000 adults. And the next day, you know, they flooded the emergency rooms and the doctor's office had to close because they couldn't take on new patients. So we believe that in order for health care reform to be, you know, successful, you're going to need an access point like a retail clinic.
And the quality of care retail clinics offer is getting noticed. Rand Health recently published a study in the Annals of Medicine that found care at retail clinics is comparable to doctor office visits without having to wait for an appointment. MinuteClinics may have been the first retail care clinics, but now several retailers have stepped into the ring. Conversations on Healthcare spoke to two leaders in the convenient care industry. Here's Mark Maselli and Margaret Flinter interviewing Sandra Ryan, Chief Nurse Practitioner Officer of Take Care Health Systems, which owns and operates retail clinics inside Walgreens.
Sandy, we're so pleased that you're able to join us today to talk about what's still a relatively newcomer to the healthcare market, the retail or convenient care clinic.
Thank you, Mark, for having me. So retail clinics, like you said, is fairly new to the healthcare market. Take Care Health Systems, who I work for, which is part of Walgreens, a wholly owned subsidiary, we have about 350 clinics in 19 states. And what these clinics are being recognized for is their incredible convenience for patients and as access, non-traditional healthcare access points for patients that are affordable and that have quality of care being delivered, and using an innovative model of nurse practitioners to really be the sole providers of care in this clinic.
You know, as I recall, the original target market might have been called the soccer mom market. Busy moms just picked up the kids from sports or school, maybe needed an earache, sore throat, or pink eye, looked at quickly and either couldn't get into the pediatricians or didn't have time. Has that changed? Are you seeing a different kind of demand for services now? And maybe tell us a little bit about who's your typical customer, if there is such a thing.
With the existence of the clinics, we have seen kind of a shift in some of the demographics. But the soccer mom still is one of the most, educated, consumer-driven models out there, where they're looking for convenience, they're looking for access, they're looking for quality of care for their children. We have a big demand between that 18 and about 50-year-old range, where people who are coming in are looking for convenience, they're working individuals, adults, who are coming in right before work, coming in during work. It's quicker and easier to get in versus making an appointment. Or a large percentage of this population, about 30%, do not have health care coverage right now. So they're without insurance, and we become an option other than urgent cares and emergency rooms.
How do you respond to critiques that it disrupts patient-provider relationships?
There's been a lot of mechanisms that have been put in place so that if people do have health care providers that they normally see, that records are being transmitted, that communication is made back to that provider. There is a huge percentage as well that do not have a relationship, where we have actually, as an industry, been working to get those patients back into the health care system, linking them up with a health care home so that they have a routine provider that they see for routine health care needs. So, you know, the beauty of the retail clinic environment, all people who belong to the Community Care Association, which is this retail care environment, have electronic health records. So when you talk of continuity, we have actually stepped beyond a lot of individual practices out there in trying to build continuity within our own environment and reached out to other providers to have continuity in that respect. I can tell you, as an industry goal, it is our goal to promote continuity because that's in the best interest of the patient.
Now, Sandy, as a nurse practitioner yourself, I know prevention is always on your mind. And the U.S. Preventive Services Task Force has that very specific list of what's highly recommended: immunization, certain cancer, cardiovascular screenings, diagnostic tests. When we look at the list of services that a retail clinic provides, probably a lot of them can be delivered in this setting. I know prevention's a priority for you, but have you been able to translate this into your business strategy and clinical services in the retail clinics?
We launched, I think it was last year, we launched actually an HRA, a health risk assessment offering to patients, which does exactly that. It's a screening for a health evaluation, which looks at obviously some metabolic levels, you know, the chemistry panels and different things, but also asks pertinent questions as to those routine things that are recommended at certain ages. So getting, you know, a mammogram, having a pap smear done, those different things and trigger points so that we can document and facilitate for patients to get those things done. So as you see the industry evolve, there will be more and more coming in that direction as trying to promote health and wellness within the setting, because we are a unique setting. We've seen our immunization offerings go from starting off the industry, we only offered a very few, to now we have a pretty complete suite of immunizations that we offer out for both pediatrics and adults.
We are talking with Sandy Ryan, Chief Nurse Practitioner Officer of Take Care Health Systems. Sandy, quality safety services, it's a challenge to monitor each of these in just one practice, and you're doing it with more than 1,000 nurse practitioners and, what did you say, 352 clinics in 19 states? How do you do it?
Well, you know, that's the beauty of having electronic health records and having electronic capabilities. So, and again, from an industry standpoint, where the retail clinic had a true advantage to the traditional healthcare system is we started with a blank slate. So we were able to design and implement and put process and procedures in place from the very beginning. So we've established ways of doing electronic peer-to-peer review between our NPs, actually reviewing quality of care issues, as well as collaborative physician reviews. So they review a percentage of records per state, per regulation of our NPs' practice. And so we are able to actually generate reports that I could tell you any day of the week what every NP scores are in quality on both of those, as well as track national HEDIS measures on three of the most common things that we see within our environment. And I can tell you that our scores, particularly on HEDIS, exceed the national benchmarks.
Sandy, as you know, Mark and I lead a statewide community health center, and as a community health center, we're very focused on vulnerable and special populations, particularly the uninsured, the low income, the publicly insured patients. Not traditionally the focus for the retail clinic industry, but might this be changing? We hear that in some states, Medicaid is beginning to cover services at the retail clinics. Tell us your perspective on this and maybe a little bit about how that ties to chronic disease management as well as prevention.
From our standpoint, you know, we have always been trying to have access for everyone. So in states where we have been able to, we have negotiated contracts with Medicaid and Medicare because we, too, believe in trying to have access for everyone. Not all the retail partners have taken the same approach, but Take Care and Walgreens definitely is committed to that. As far as chronic care delivery, absolutely, that is something that we will be expanding services into as we move forward. So we are, you know, recently we've launched a few more new services. We're looking at launching, you know, care for asthma and diabetes and different things in the future. So again, the more, you know, that we can get the states to accept the services, and believe it or not, sometimes it's hard to negotiate mm-hmm. with them, but we definitely are committed to doing that.
That was Sandra Ryan, Chief Nurse Practitioner Officer of Take Care Health Systems. Walmart is also involved in convenient care, but it follows a different model. Unlike CVS or Walgreens, Walmart's clinics are operated by independent health care providers. To find out more, Mark and Margaret spoke with Dr. John Aguinobi, president of Walmart's Health and Wellness Division.
Dr. Aguinobi, thank you for speaking with us today.
Hi, Mark. Hi, Margaret.
Hi, and thanks again so much, Dr. Aguinobi, for joining us on Conversations. You know, I want to start with a pretty basic question. We're not used to hearing Walmart and healthcare in the same sentence. We think of Walmart really as a retail giant. So tell us why it decided to get into direct healthcare services.
Well, I have to tell you, Walmart sees and serves 140 million individuals every single week. 140 million people walk through our doors to seek some product or service in our stores, and it's a natural fit for us to then ask them, how can we help you? What don't you have in your community that we might provide? And the overwhelming many of the voices said, we need you to help us with basic health services. We need you to help us make it more affordable, make it more accessible, and make it simpler. And the retail health clinics that we offer are one of the responses to that demand.
Any one of us who've shopped at Walmart knows that you attract a huge and diverse customer base. Can you tell us more about the typical customer that uses the retail clinic?
Well, the typical customer that comes to a retail clinic is an individual, typically a family, mom or dad with their child. Sometimes it's a teenager or an older person. But they all share in common this notion that they don't have a lot of time, so they can't afford to schedule and to, you know, for an appointment 5 weeks ahead or 4 weeks out. They don't want to have to stand and wait for 4 hours before they get to see a nurse practitioner or a doctor, and so that's why it's a walk-in type setting in these retail clinics, and many of them are what we would refer to as being price sensitive. They care how much their health care costs, and so these clinics post the prices on the wall so that the patients know what they're going to spend before they come in. Some have insurance, some don't.
Mm-hmm. You know, when we've looked around at the retail clinic industry, we see that it has a number of players, but there's a dominant model, and that dominant model seems to be all the clinics owned and operated by one entity that employs the staff and really controls the care. But it seems to us that Walmart took a different path. You lease space within your stores to local healthcare providers. Can you tell us a little bit about why you adopted that model?
We believe strongly in the notion of a medical home. Every person ultimately should have a place that they naturally turn to for their ongoing healthcare needs over time. And because these clinics are structured to deliver, you know, just kind of on-time basic care for episodic events, it just felt better to have it connected to their medical homes in some way, and that's why we've gone the route we've gone of having local providers come into our store and operate these clinics.
This is Conversations on Healthcare. We're talking with Dr. John Aguinobi, president of Walmart's Health and Wellness Division. You know that all retail clinics have one thing in common. They use an electronic health record. Retail clinic operators like Take Care Health Systems and Minute Clinic use electronic health records to monitor the quality of the health care. Since Walmart doesn't actually own the clinics, how do you monitor care?
Walmart, the company, we're not a part of that clinical relationship between the patient and the provider in a retail clinic. That's, we think, a very unique relationship, one that isn't necessarily improved by Walmart being a part of it. We do require, for example, that the hospital provider, that the nurse or the doctor in the clinic that is taking care of the patient, that they have all of the standards and the expectations on quality that they would have in their hospitals or in their community health center or in their practice. We ask in contract that quality, those expectations be extended into the retail clinic in a Walmart store. We do provide, as a service to the providers, an electronic medical record in each of our Walmart retail clinics. The basic arrangement is that they rent the electronic medical record from us, it's used from us, and it allows them to connect the patient that they see in the Walmart retail clinic back to their larger medical record in their hospital or in their doctor's office or in their community health center. So we offer that to our operators as a service to them. It also allows customers who would visit a hospital-operated clinic in a Walmart on the East Coast to be able to pull up their records if they entered a retail clinic operated by a different operator on the West Coast. But Walmart doesn't actually have access to or dive into the medical details of each of the patients that walk in our doors. Our role is to serve the providers.
You've held some very high-profile public health positions, Assistant Secretary for Health in the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, an Admiral in the Public Health Service, and you've served as the Director of Health for the state of Florida. So we know you've faced a lot of public health emergencies in your career. From your perspective, is there a role for retail clinics from that public health point of view?
Absolutely. For those individuals that walk into a clinic and perhaps they don't have insurance and they're not receiving care, typically they find that these clinics allow them to take care of the basic health care needs. My little Johnny has a cold or my wife has an ear infection. But it also is a place where we then plug these individuals back into the local infrastructure. We help them find providers in their communities. We help find medical homes for them in their communities. These retail clinics also are in the practice of immunizing. In some of them, the hospitals that operate the clinics that operate these clinics also offer a screening for certain illnesses and diseases.
And as you sort of look at that, and you sort of look at the current debate that's going on, how do you see the role of retail clinics evolving?
That's a good question. And number one, we do this as a partnership with hospitals, so our community health centers or our doctor practices. And so the evolution will be largely driven by where those entities are going in the future. It won't all be Walmart pushing it in one way or the other. Our role ultimately is to make sure that over time, the cost of healthcare hopefully will become less so more people can access it. And over time, these clinics become a larger part, a more important part of their local healthcare networks.
We've been speaking with Dr. John Agwunobi, president of Walmart's Health and Wellness Division. Dr. Agwunobi, thank you so much for speaking with us today. For Conversations on Healthcare, I'm Mark Maselli.
And I'm Margaret Flinter.
Each week, Conversations points out a bright idea about how to fit wellness and healthy choices into the daily life of your community.
Here's Lucy with a bright idea from Oakland, California.
We ask our children to pay attention, but do we teach them how? That's the question that the Park Day School has been answering in recent years with a program called Mindful Schools. It started with experienced meditation teachers adapting their lessons to school children, 15-minute lessons three times a week in a 5-week course. They provide mindfulness exercises in listening, breathing, movement, and developing kind and caring thoughts. And the results were so positive that they immediately began to offer the program to other schools. It's an impressive track record. The Mindful School teachers have trained nearly 5,000 students in both public and private schools, and many serve predominantly underserved populations. It's an idea which is being embraced in a number of communities. In Los Angeles, a group called the Inner Kids Foundation calls it the new ABCs, attention, balance, and compassion. So what does meditation for kids look like? Well, it's not at all like sitting in a lotus position and saying Om. Some of the techniques might include walking meditation or exercising all five senses and talking about how different it is to slow down and focus your awareness. And there seems to be a special benefit when a whole school takes mindfulness training together. Kids can remind each other to take a breath instead of lashing out, and teachers also benefit from minutes spent on thinking calm and positive thoughts. When everyone in the school trains together, supporters of mindfulness meditation say the effect multiplies and moves the whole culture of the school in a more positive and peaceful direction. Now, that's a bright idea.
That's Conversations on Healthcare for this week. I'm Margaret Flinter.
And I'm Mark Maselli. Peace and health.
Conversations on Healthcare, broadcast from the campus of Wesleyan University at WESU, streaming live at WESUFM.org, and brought to you by the Community Health Center.